Welcome to Dog Training Disrupted by Upward Dogology, where I retrain your brain and introduce you to the world of cognitive behavioral therapy for dogs over the age of 6 months. As many of you know, I'm taking my PhD, yes, starting that at the age of 57, after 3.5 decades of hands-on work, so quite the change. I am doing that program out of Antioch University Leadership and Change Program, and I'm specializing in animal canine behavior and animal welfare. However, I also, throughout the summer, took a PhD course out of the University of Sweden Agricultural Sciences on cognition and emotions to improve animal welfare, and I just completed my final paper for that course. And I thought what I would do is actually read you that paper because I think it's really interesting. It's on the connection between the canine guardian bond, cognition, and behavior to improve the welfare of domestic dogs. And it is a short paper. The total length that we were allotted was 4 pages, which you can actually fit a lot of information in there, but it's almost as though every topic that I talk on can be really expanded on, but it really provides a lot of insight and information to stimulate more research in areas in these fields and topics. And I really focus on the domestic dogs and the ability to bring street dogs, free roaming dogs into our homes and to be able to connect with them and our ability to bond and the importance of bonding and connecting with these dogs to prevent surrender and euthanasia. Hello, I'm Billy Groom, your host and successful dogologist and creator of Canine Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode that is obviously for many of you who have listened to previous episodes. This is going to be a little bit different because I'm literally just reading from my own scientific paper. So the paper starts out with just a small fine print note. Although there is no formal definition of, quote, companion animal, for the purpose of this paper, companion animal, pet, and domestic dog are synonymous and represent dogs living with a human, also termed pet parent, caregiver, or guardian. Bond and attachment are interchangeable. The dogs referred to in this paper are domestic unless otherwise noted. I also want to point out that I am not going to, throughout the paper, cite the quotations. I will provide the link to the paper, which has all the quotes and citations. So here I go. There are approximately 77 million companion dogs in the United States, and most pet parents feel a high level of attachment with their dog. Pet parents are more emotionally attached to their pets than ever before, and dogs provide humans with a multitude of emotional, physical, and mental benefits, leading to an increased desire and, arguably, responsibility for humans to provide dogs with an environment and lifestyle that meets their emotional, physical, and mental needs. As the popularity of having dogs as domestic pets increases, so do the challenges in behavioral management. Studies show that prospective pet parents are often concerned they will not be able to provide the necessities to ensure they're meeting the needs of their dogs. The most common concerns among prospective pet parents are 1, responsibility, 2, training, and 3, behavior. The aim of this paper is to highlight the connection between cognitive processes, affected states, primarily in relation to the guardian-canine bond, and behavior to explore the effects of these factors on the welfare of domestic dogs. I begin by presenting the proven benefits as well as the limitations of enrichment activities and training programs. I discuss the importance of stimulating cognitive functions and establishing the guardian canine bond to prevent and address behaviors leading to surrender, euthanasia, and the implementation of aversive measures, and refer to studies to highlight the benefits of further research into factors affecting behavior. I then introduce strategies borrowed from the human world to heighten cognitive stimulation, enhance bonding, and address behavioral issues as potential suggestions for future explorations to improve the welfare of domestic dogs. Lack of cognitive stimulation can trigger boredom and lead to abnormal behaviors in humans, and thus could be considered a chronic problem in animal welfare. The introduction of canine enrichment into mainstream dog rearing provides pet parents with multiple means to prevent boredom, including physical activities such as walks, scent detection, and sports, as well as tangible items such as games and toys. Although these activities can stimulate cognitive functions, encourage problem solving, enhance the human-canine bond, aid in preventing unwanted behavior caused by boredom, and improve the overall quality of life of dogs, it may be challenging to implement these measures when behavioral problems prevent adequate socialization or exercise, particularly in an urban setting. Although canine enrichment activities provide evidence to suggest the benefits of mental stimulation in decreasing boredom leading to behavioral issues, it is not considered an evidence-based behavioral rehabilitation method and does not provide the level of cognitive stimulation required to address behavioral issues. Failure to address behavioral issues, especially ones relating to anxieties, fears, and phobias, can disrupt the human-animal bond, leading to abandonment, relinquishment, or euthanasia. Class training is a common solution to preventing or addressing behavioral issues. However, a study by Kwan and Bain indicates that dogs relinquished to shelters were not any less likely to have attended training classes than dogs who were not relinquished. Additionally, 65% of people who relinquished their dog reported some behavioral reasons were a factor in their decision, and 48% reported at least one issue highly influenced their decision to relinquish, indicating that training classes are not sufficient in addressing behavioral issues. Behavioral management programs designed to address behavioral issues relating to anxiety and aggression are commonly provided through personalized programs. In a survey conducted by Daniels, around half of the participants, which were essentially clients, had hired more than one professional consultant, indicating a need to, quote, research ways in which to improve education and practical counseling training. Fortunately, there is a plethora of educational resources based on scientific studies promoting positive and discouraging aversive conditioning methods and techniques. However, when non-aversive conditioning methods are limiting or ineffective, pet parents may feel the need to resort to aversive conditioning methods and strategies, which may produce immediate results but are proven to cause short-term discomfort and/or long-term negative effects. The continued reliance on aversive methods supports the need to take a multidisciplinary approach by researching non-aversive approaches that span beyond conditioning methods. When attempts at rehabilitation are ineffective, emotional stress on the pet parent can compromise the dog's happiness and owner attachment becomes disenfranchised. A study by Kwan and Bain shows a positive correlation between decreased attachment and relinquishment. It could be deduced that the relationship between emotional attachment and behavior are reciprocal, meaning that as behaviors worsen or are not addressed, the attachment becomes frayed and the ability to effectively address behaviors decreases. Despite the proven success of canine enrichment, non-aversive training programs, and, more recently, an increase in medicinal intervention to address behavioral issues, 3.3 million dogs are relinquished to shelters yearly, with behavioral problems documented as the leading cause of surrender and euthanasia. Veterinarians in the UK report behavioral issues are the most common reason for euthanasia in dogs under the age of 3. In the UK, over 40,000 dogs are relinquished or euthanized or taken to shelters due to behavioral issues that were deemed unmanageable or untreatable. These numbers could be reduced through behavioral modification plans implemented by canine professionals. Behavior and temperament are influenced by several characteristics, including, but not exclusive to, age, sex, weight, personality, and guardian-dog relationship. Health-related issues, specifically ones causing pain, as well as upbringing and early life experiences, can influence training, socialization, and behavior. Life stages, essentially the age of a dog, can be a contributing factor to change in behavior in dogs. A study of adolescent, approximately 6 to 24 months, raised as domestic dogs indicated decreased guardian canine attachment, a lower response to commands, and decreased trainability than during puppyhood. So, as with humans, brain development during life stages is a contributing factor to change in behaviors and is an area deserving of further research to advance our understanding of dogs as they mature. And just as a side note, that study that showed that there was a decrease in guardian attachment and lower response to commands is the one that I referred to in an earlier episode. And I talk a lot about it. It was Naomi Harvey and Asher and a number of other scientists that did that. And I'll have the link for that in the show notes as well. Dogs living on the streets, commonly referred to as street roaming community or free run dogs, face different challenges than dogs living in domestic environments. Animals living freely employ a multitude of cognitive skills to overcome problems, allowing them to survive and thrive, including, but not limited to, memory, spatial awareness, problem solving, and various forms of learning. Many enrichment programs do not include these types of cognitive challenges, and this lack of challenge can lead to the development of abnormal behavior. There is a growing interest in studying street dogs. A preliminary study in Bali compared street dogs to dogs living as domestic pets. The study used dogs with an average age of 14 to 15 months, and it was designed to determine if dogs are more comfortable and essentially happier living freely than in a domestic environment based on measurable behavioral variables. And once again, the link to this study is in the show notes. The results showed that free-ranging dogs scored as less active and excitable, less aggressive towards animals, including other dogs, and less inclined to chase animals and people than companion dogs. The researchers concluded, quote, that free-ranging dogs in general can be socialized to humans, can build trust based on affection, and they referred to positive reinforcement and extrinsic rewards, and adopted street dogs can become companions. However, free-ranging and pet population dogs differ in their behavior as a consequence of their different life experience. This study points to the need to explore and apply measures proven to establish a bond and address behaviors beyond methods using extrinsic rewards and stimulate cognitive functions to a higher degree than achieved through canine enrichment to determine if the behaviors are a, quote, consequence of their different life experience, unquote, the limitations of the integration process and/or methods applied to address behavioral issues, or a combination of variables. In other words, I question whether it is strictly their upbringing or whether it's our inability to effectively integrate them into homes. The connection between cognition, emotions, bonding, and training to improve animal welfare deserves further study. As it becomes increasingly commonly accepted that animals have cognitive skills and emotions, we, as humans, recognize the need to harness these skills, provide avenues for agency, respect autonomy, and encourage decision-making. The positive correlation between trainability and socialization to that of guardian-dog attachment supports the benefits of establishing a bond to improve the effectiveness of training. Effective behavior modification therapies that focus on developing the human-canine bond could reduce relinquishment and improve the welfare of domestic dogs. Drawing from human cognitive studies, the remainder of this article introduces strategies proven to stimulate cognitive capacities, establish a bond, respect autonomy, provide agency, and/or allow for a multidisciplinary approach to effectively address behavioral issues. The first one I talk about is called flow. Flow is a cognitive state involving intense focus requiring complete absorption in an intrinsically rewarding activity with benefits that move beyond minimizing suffering to flourishing and thriving. Flow can improve emotion regulation. Studies on humans show that fulfilling intrinsic goals enhances well-being, while obtaining extrinsic goals does not, or does to a lesser degree, and that extrinsic rewards tend to decrease motivation. The near complete abstention for acknowledging the potential for intrinsic motivation in animals has left the field in a state of arrested development. And that's a quote from Hinsey and Yee. I then move on to cognitive enrichment. Cognitive enrichment enhances welfare through cognitive exercises that allow for problem solving and control over the environment, with either intrinsic or extrinsic rewards. Control or manageability could be achieved by providing autonomy and agency through exercises that encourage decision making. So anyone who's been listening to these other podcast episodes, you're probably seeing a connection between cognitive enrichment and cognitive behavioral therapy. The concepts of flow, competency, and agency appear promising in relation to cognitive enrichment and provide opportunities for multidisciplinary collaboration. Research programs on cognitive enrichment, especially in both free-roaming and domestic dogs, may provide an avenue to bridge the gap between the disciplines of animal cognition and welfare. The third is, not surprising, cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. CBT is a form of therapy that heightens awareness of negative or inaccurate thought patterns to allow for clear and accurate processing. CBT employs emotion-regulating tasks, cognitive restructuring, and problem-solving, leading to an alleviation of unpleasant mental states. CBT emphasizes a positive relationship between the subject and the therapist. Thus, CBT could provide a means of strengthening the canine-guardian bond during challenging life stages. CBT provides positive coping strategies and is connected to mindfulness, autonomy, agency, emotions, and cognition. In a study conducted by Neil Lackington, Hendrick, and Mickelson, CBT proved effective in addressing behaviors among adolescent humans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and CBT is effective in addressing other forms of anxiety disorders. Studies on the effects of canine brain development on behavior during life stages, which many of you know I have discussed this in previous episodes as well, could prove helpful in enhancing our ability to assess the potential benefits of CBT. Studies with humans combining CBT with neurocognitive and neurobiological interventions hold huge potential for developing new avenues for process-oriented interventions. And there is evidence showing neuroscience may already be instrumental in the practice of CBT. And again, I have previous episodes where I talk about studies done by Dr. Murphy and courses I have taken on neuroscience and brain development, especially during the adolescent stage. An ever-growing body of research demonstrates that emotions, cognitive processes, and affective states are interrelated. These studies provide a basis for further research on how an integrative cognitive approach can improve our understanding of animal welfare. I hope this article motivates and supports future research into measures that connect cognition, emotion, and behavior to improve the welfare of dogs in domestic environments. So I hope that provided some amount of stimulation and motivation to really think about the importance of connecting emotionally, mentally, and cognitively with your dog and harnessing those cognitive skills in order to address behaviors and prevent unwanted behaviors and to effectively integrate dogs into domestic environments. I know that was a very quick overview of a lot of different topics, but again, as I mentioned throughout, a lot of those topics are talked about in more detail in other episodes. Also, there is my link tree, which is Upward Dogology, that has a lot of shows and articles and interviews and PowerPoint presentations that talk about these topics as well. Please feel free to share this episode. As always, I really appreciate your feedback and your support. And thank you to the contribution of amazing music by OpenStrom, who does these amazing initiatives for spreading awareness to especially children on the benefits of the human-canine bond and animal awareness and animal welfare. Thank you very much for your support, and as always, enjoy your learning journey.
No more fussing or fighting. Let's start to help each other. It's time for giving and sharing.